This is the parallax for Sunday, February 1st, 2026. Multiple angles. One picture. Here's what you need to know today. We begin with immigration enforcement and the courts in Minnesota, where a federal judge on Saturday rejected the state's emergency request to block what the Trump administration calls Operation Metro Surge, a large-scale immigration enforcement deployment in Minneapolis. U.S. District Judge Catherine Menendez ruled that Minnesota, Minneapolis, and St. Paul failed to meet the legal threshold for an injunction. This decision comes days after Minneapolis nurse Alex Priddy, 37, was shot and killed by federal agents during an enforcement action. That marks the second death from ICE operations in the city within weeks, and the ruling has sparked nationwide protests and widespread accusations of excessive force. The coverage of this ruling reveals starkly different interpretations of what the judge's decision means. The Guardian emphasizes the pattern of escalation and casualties, framing the judicial decision as a green light for enforcement tactics that have drawn scrutiny from civil rights advocates. The publication presents the ruling as a setback for state officials who argue federal agents are operating without sufficient oversight. Fox News, meanwhile, highlights the Trump administration's narrative of success, reporting that the judge's decision validates the operation's effectiveness. Federal authorities are touting thousands of arrests as proof the surge is working as intended. Axios frames the ruling as a political victory for the administration, while documenting a broader collision between federal and local authorities. And that collision is very real. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson has issued a countervailing executive order directing police to investigate and document alleged ICE misconduct. In related news, a federal judge on Friday ordered something quite different: the immediate release of 5-year-old Liam Conejo Ramos and his father from immigration detention within 3 days. The judge declared the child's detention traumatizing and used sharp language about what he called ill-conceived and incompetently implemented deportation quotas. The order came after national outcry following images of the child in a Spider-Man backpack and a bright blue bunny-shaped hat being taken into custody during Minneapolis ICE operations. NPR emphasizes the humanitarian dimension and the judicial rebuke of enforcement procedures, reporting that the judge's language signaling concern about how federal agents are executing their mandate. Fox News frames this narrowly as a judicial compromise about procedures rather than a rejection of immigration enforcement itself, noting that the judge found legal grounds to release the child without blocking the broader operation. The Washington Examiner presents the order as a setback for the administration's immigration crackdown, while reporting on the judge's specific findings about detention procedures, evidence that even as some courts decline to halt enforcement operations entirely, others are finding legal grounds to push back on specific practices. Meanwhile, President Trump has issued new instructions to Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. He's ordered federal agents to refrain from intervening in protests occurring in cities led by Democrats unless local officials explicitly request assistance. At the same time, he's ordered ICE and Border Patrol to be very forceful in protecting federal property. The directive comes amid intense anti-ICE protests in Minneapolis, Los Angeles, and other Democratic-controlled cities. The Guardian frames this as a political calculation and potential abdication of a federal responsibility, suggesting Trump is creating conditions where Democratic cities bear the burden of civil disorder while federal forces maintain maximum aggression at federal sites. Fox News presents the directive as Trump reasserting executive authority and holding cities accountable for their own security while ensuring federal installations remain protected. Al Jazeera contextualizes the order within the broader escalation of immigration enforcement tensions, presenting it as part of the administration's hardline posture, while acknowledging its political dimensions. Turning to the Middle East, where President Trump announced Saturday that Iran is engaged in serious diplomatic discussions with the United States. But that announcement comes even as the Pentagon has moved additional military assets into the region ahead of a potential strike, and Iran has prepared live-fire naval exercises in the Strait of Hormuz. Trump told Gulf allies he was keeping military options on the table while signaling willingness to explore a nuclear deal, though he has not made a final decision on military action. The BBC reports the diplomatic signals alongside the military buildup with measured skepticism, presenting both the talks and the military preparations as simultaneous tracks that could collapse into conflict at any moment. Fox News emphasizes Trump's control of the situation and his ability to maintain diplomatic optionality while preserving military readiness. Framing the talks as evidence of Trump's negotiating leverage, Zero Hedge presents the talks skeptically, emphasizing the uncertainty about outcomes and suggesting Trump's psychology and desire for dominance could override diplomatic progress at any moment. In Gaza, the Rafah border crossing between Gaza and Egypt, which had been nearly closed for nearly 2 years, partially reopened Saturday under an Israel-Hamas ceasefire agreement, allowing limited movement of people as a security trial. That's significant. But on the same day, Israeli airstrikes killed at least 32 Palestinians, with both sides accusing each other of violating the ceasefire agreement. NPR frames the crossing reopening as a pivotal humanitarian step forward, while documenting the simultaneous killings, presenting both developments as evidence that the ceasefire is fragile and contested. Al Jazeera reports the crossing reopening and airstrikes with attention to the mutual accusations, maintaining focus on the humanitarian dimensions of border access, even as both sides dispute who violated the agreement first. In a very different story with serious implications, Casey Wasserman, head of the Los Angeles Olympic Organizing Committee, issued a statement Saturday expressing deep regret over flirty emails from 2003 between himself and convicted sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell. The emails emerged from 3.5 million pages of newly released Jeffrey Epstein-related files. Wasserman wrote to Maxwell, "I think of you all the time. So what do I have to do to see you in a before the email cuts off in the released documents?" The BBC presents the Wasserman revelation as one element in a larger pattern of prominent figures' involvement with Epstein and Maxwell, reporting his statement while contextualizing it within the broader file releases. The Guardian emphasizes the personal discomfort and potential political liability for Wasserman, presenting the emails as evidence of a social connection he must now address. In sports, Shakur Stevenson delivered a masterclass Saturday night at Madison Garden, defeating Teofimo Lopez by unanimous decision to capture the WBO and lineal junior welterweight titles and become a four-division champion. The cards read 119-109 across the board. Observers described it as the most complete performance of Stevenson's 27-year-old career. The Guardian emphasizes his tactical mastery and the quality of his performance, framing the victory as a statement of his arrival at boxing's highest level. And finally, a note on markets. Bitcoin fell below $80,000 Saturday, touching November 2024 lows amid $1.5 billion in leveraged liquidations. The decline extends a losing streak driven partly by Kevin Warsh's nomination as Federal Reserve Chair, which spooked markets betting on rate cuts. Bloomberg frames the crash as a crisis of confidence and a test of Bitcoin's investment thesis, with liquidations and price action showing that conviction among leveraged traders is evaporating. That's the Parallax for Sunday, February 1st. For links to all sources and the full written digest, visit readparallax.com. Thanks for listening.